Hawaii is making moves to help protect the future of its coral reefs. The state's Governor David Ige is expected to sign a bill passed last week that would ban the sale of certain sunscreens that may damage coral. Meanwhile, in Australia, the government is pledging nearly $400 million to help save the Great Barrier Reef, which has been badly damaged by warming waters caused by climate change. Some scientists say it may be too late to save it. A study published last month in the journal Nature shows that a record-breaking marine heat wave on the Great Barrier Reef in 2016 caused the coral cover to decline by 30%. And in the northern section, where water temperatures were highest, 50% of coral cover died in just 8 months. Joining us now is Mark Akin, who is the coordinator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Coral Reef Watch Program. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be with you, Jeremy.
And first, just your assessment of how the Great Barrier Reef is doing at this moment.
Well, it's had a couple of bad years. We had huge marine heat waves that hit in 2016 and 2017. In 2016, the Great Barrier Reef lost about 29% of its corals, and in 2017, another 22%. All of this was a part of a global bleaching event that lasted for 3 years, from 2014 to 2017, and, you know, as I say, reached all around the world.
And it's mainly due to just warmer waters?
Absolutely. Climate change has increased water temperatures, and you add to that climate events like El Niños and La Niñas, and the high temperatures are just causing the corals to bleach and die.
When you say bleach and die, is that the same thing? If they bleach, are they dead?
No. Bleaching actually is when the corals eject the microscopic algae that live inside their tissues. Corals are animals, vegetables, and minerals. And these algae that live inside their tissues give them most of their food. And when high temperature stresses them, they eject the algae into the water column. It leaves them injured, starving, and clear looking. And so you're actually seeing right through the tissue into the skeletons. That's bleaching. If it lasts long enough, if it's severe enough, the corals will die.
And if it doesn't, how do you bring the coral back?
Well, it's not so much how do you bring them back, it's how do they bring themselves back. Mm-hmm. If it's a mild event, short-lived, and the corals will actually, they have some algae still in their tissues, and those algae will be able to reproduce and repopulate, and you get the color back. Unfortunately, the coral is still injured, it's weaker, and it's more susceptible to disease as well. So sometimes they recover, and then they die. And of course, when the question is, how do they come back after they die? Well, they're dead. It's just a matter of having the reef come back. And that takes, you know, at least 10 to 15 years for even the fast-growing corals to come back.
So when we hear about the Australian government preparing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to try to save the Great Barrier Reef, what is it that they're going to be spending that money on, and will it work?
You know, that's a good question. I've heard different things. The majority of what they're looking at are efforts to improve water quality, and that's great because water quality does cause problems to reefs. But unless we can control climate change, just doing water quality adjustments alone are not going to be enough.
There's also a starfish that they're worried about hurting the reef, correct?
Right. The crown of thorn starfish is a predator that's been naturally occurring on reefs. But there's some evidence that under situations where there are more nutrients, you actually have more starfish. And, you know, right now the reef's in bad enough shape that any of these waves of starfish coming through are going to cause real problems. So, yes, that's another good thing in going through and getting rid of the starfish as much as they can will help the reef. But, again, that's just a piece of the problem.
I went as a tourist years ago and went diving on the reef. It's just an incredible thing to see. I wonder if I were to go now, could I even do that at this point? Is there still enough of the reef that you would be able to look at it up close?
There is. I mean, you have to remember how big the Great Barrier Reef is. It
right.
covers the entire northeast coast of Australia. So it's you know, thousands of miles long, a couple of thousand miles long. As a result, there are some places that didn't get affected by these last two bleaching events. There are areas of the reef that are still looking quite good. And even some of the reefs that were hit, you know, weren't hit all that badly. So it all depends on where you go. But all in all, there's been a lot of damage that's occurred to the reef. First, there were reports of you know, losing a lot of the reef over the last few decades because of storms, bleaching, and crown-of-thorn starfish. And now we add these two new bleaching events on top of that. So there are still places to go, and I'd encourage anyone to go see it while it's still there.
Here we are talking about this in the United States. You can't get much farther away from the Great Barrier Reef than where we are right now. Why does this matter to us, the health of the Great Barrier Reef?
Well, because the Great Barrier Reef is just one of the reefs around the world that is really being affected by climate change at this point. This global bleaching event, and that's why it's important to keep it in mind that what happened in Australia was part of a global event. We had severe bleaching in Florida in 2014 and 2015. We had severe bleaching in Hawaii in 2014 and 2015. We had bleaching in Guam and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, both U.S. territories that have actually happened 4 of the last 5 years. So, you know, it's all of our coral reefs. And these are amazing places that, you know, you have a billion people around the world relying on them for fish. They protect shoreline from storms and tsunamis, and they're very important economically. And so it's not just the Great Barrier Reef that we're talking about.
And is the damage as bad in other reefs?
Some were not hit that badly during this event. Some were already in bad shape and are doing very poorly. A few reefs were really devastated by this event. In fact, there's a little fly speck of a U.S. territory in the middle of the Pacific called Jarvis Island. They had 98% of their corals die. Hmm.
Now, you used the phrase a few minutes ago, you should see the reef while it's still there. Mm. There's an Australian coral researcher, Terry Hughes, who tweeted that when he showed the results of aerial surveys of bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef to his students, they wept. Are you at all optimistic about the future of the Great Barrier Reef?
Well, you know, his students aren't the only ones who wept when all that was going on. Mm. This bleaching event has been devastating, and people who've been working on reefs around the world have just been heartbroken by what's occurred. But I haven't given up on coral reefs yet. The important thing, though, is, you know, for the last decade, we've been saying that the two things we have to do is, number one, we have to get climate change under control. And that's a matter of reducing the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, not just reducing emissions, but reducing carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases. Number two, we need to reduce those local stresses. And this is where their work on nutrients and other pollutants is very important, where the crown-of-thorn starfish is important, dealing with overfishing, habitat destruction, all really important. But now, we've waited so long to really do anything about these. The people are looking at very dramatic, radical conservation steps, trying to selectively breed corals to put out on the reef. There's even talk of genetic engineering. Hmm. There's talk of geoengineering, cooling the reef on large scales, either with water pumps or even making low-level clouds in areas.
What a massive undertaking that would be, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not talking about it for all the reefs, but for sections of the reef. Yeah. And so there are other projects, that one of which I'm a part of called 50 Reefs, where we're trying to identify those reefs around the world most likely to survive during climate change and be able to reseed nearby reefs after climate change is under control. But I haven't given up hope, and I don't want anyone else to either.
Well, and do you think the Australians are doing enough, or should they be doing even more about this?
Well, you know, the Australians, along with everyone else, need to be doing their bit to deal with climate change. And so for actions to be going on one hand to help with nutrients and starfish, but on the other hand to be instituting policies that make climate change worse, that's not going to do it. So, you know, Australians, just like everyone else, we need to be addressing climate change, and we need to do it fast.
That's Mark Akin, who is the coordinator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Coral Reef Watch Program. Mark, great to talk to you once again. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your interest.
And you can see photos of what's happened to the reef. They're kind of depressing at hereandnow.org.